Fan-run radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
You're gonna be all right. No, you're not.
Fuck my kneecap. Stupid table at Mace.
Why is it? It's like Walter and the Big Lebowski. Why is everything a disaster with you, man?
It's not, man.
Kinda is.
Well,
kinda is.
You can both know where you can go. I was happy when I was crammed into the corner in the old way. Now, while these legs sticking out, where I could bang my damn knee on it, Russ.
You just like sitting over there so you could prop your legs up and go to sleep.
We welcome you in.
Well, that was beyond the pale.
Another stellar edition.
You'll pay.
Of The Drive underway. Fox Sports Knoxville. Russell Bear and Brandon back with you. Rick Butler on quality control this afternoon. Big show lined up for you. Mark Burnett, who covers Alabama, is going to join us here in just a few minutes to kind of give us a primer on the tide. I mean, you might as well, right? Get familiar with whatever is about to occur on Saturday.
I mean,
they're a good team, man.
It's going to be a little bit different looking Alabama. I mean, it's going to be a totally different kind of ass whipping. I mean, like, usually they come out with baseball bats and just beat us about the breast, chest, neck, and head. And this time, it's just going to be death by a thousand. I mean, they score at will. Their offense is explosive.
I was thinking about this. And not to start off with just all kinds of depression for you, because we still did beat. Just get right into it.
Yeah.
I mean, we did beat Auburn.
Only one day of celebration.
No, we're still beating our chests over that. We're going to do that all week. And we're going to have the official celebration on Thursday over at Corner 16. Hope you come out and join us and hoist a cold one with your friends here at Fan Run Radio. But I was thinking on the way over here, because, you know, Tua's all banged up, and they say he's going to play. And we talked about how yesterday it probably doesn't matter, and it probably doesn't. How many starters would Alabama have to be missing in order for you to feel like we had a legitimate chance to win the game?
At least six off both sides of the ball.
See, that's what I was thinking, a dozen. Which is insane. Usually you'd think like a decent team, like Georgia, like if they were just missing like four or five guys, like you would think, okay, we can hang with them if we're 100%. Like at least 12.
Yeah, because I would take the two deep off the defensive line, and not, you know, linebackers are thin. Their DBs are pretty good. But, and then I'd cherry pick, you know, six off the offense, maybe. At that point,
if they had just 12 random starters missing on offense, or I'm sorry, missing across the starters,
right?
Do you think we can beat them, Brandon?
No.
What if Nick Saban was having like hernia surgery and he wasn't there?
It would be close. It would be closer, but I don't think we would beat them.
What if they had an interim instead of Saban? Like, he's in the hospital having, like, his appendix removed.
I don't even think it's all about that, man. I think it's just he gets the players and brainwash them and send them out there. And I don't think it's so much of, like, Saban's game management skills or anything. I mean, he's good at that stuff, but it's more about just the preparation, you know, the recruitment, development and preparation of those players that makes them what they are. And David Ubin over at The Athletic was writing about, you know, Saban, it's well known he hasn't lost to a former assistant yet. And they were talking to Muschamp. There were some quotes in there, and he was asked why. And he's like, well, basically because they've always had better players. Like, even when Muschamp was at Florida and had a pretty talented roster, Alabama was still much, 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 much more talented than Florida.
Kirby almost got him last year.
That's the deal. That's the deal, right? They make such a big deal out of you got to have familiarity with the system, right? You know what Saban's doing on both sides of the ball, and that helps you. Well, it hasn't. Kirby came close in the national championship game. That's probably the closest anybody's come off the top of my head of a former Saban assistant to actually beating him. But the guys that have actually beat him are, you know, Kevin Sumlin, Hugh Freeze.
Dabo.
Like guys that don't have any tie.
Urban.
Yeah, guys that are completely unfamiliar with the Saban way.
All those guys had one thing in common, though.
They all good players, too.
Not just good players. The only thing you have to have, like, a freak athlete, elite-level quarterback to beat Saban.
Great QB play.
Just unreal. He had and a lot of luck, too.
And you look at it this week, and you know, you're tempted to say, well, Garantano, we just don't have that. But he is the reigning SEC Offensive Player of the Week and the Maxwell Award Quarterback of the Week. He was, by all accounts, the best quarterback in college football last week against a pretty good Auburn defense on the road. I'm not going to try and pump Tennessee fans up and, oh, we got a shot, rah-rah, all that. I mean, if you want to believe that, that's great. And like I said yesterday, we'll all watch the game and hope for the best and pull for our team and stuff. And, you know, I think that winning against Auburn does take some of the sting out of a loss if it were to occur against Alabama on Saturday. But there's a reason we're a 28.5-point underdog. And it's not even so much that Tennessee is in a bad way, we're rebuilding or whatever, even though we are. This looks like one of Saban's better outfits that he's ever been able to put together down there in Tuscaloosa, and that's saying something.
This is the best offense he's probably ever had. I wouldn't go that far defensively. I mean, they aren't the same as they were the past few years.
We'll see.
They lost a lot of linebackers. They're just doing it differently.
We'll see. I mean, you know, we're six games in.
Like, I'm not as completely stark terrified that we're going to lose like five guys to injuries just because of how physical Alabama is this year. It's not nearly as bad.
Boy, I hope not. I hope not, because for me, it's, you know, I'm pretty excited about November. I'm pretty excited about South Carolina and then the month of November, seeing how many of those five games that we can win, because I think we can win a bunch of them and get to a bowl game and really kind of springboard into the next phase of going from rebuilding to being a competitive program next year and hopefully launching into a program that's, you know, top notch from that point on. But we'll see. We'll talk again. Mark Burnett, he covers Alabama down there in Tuscaloosa, going to join us next year on The Drive. We'll get Dan the Man Harrelson coming up in the 5 o'clock hour to give us some of the Tennessee perspective on Bama week. Found this stat pretty interesting. Shout out to Rusty Enzer for sending this to me yesterday. Gus Malzahn is 2-3 against Alabama. Again, guys who are unfamiliar with the Saban way tend to they're the only ones that have had any success. The rest of the SEC, head coaches against Saban, 0-20. Which is interesting on a couple of levels, because nobody else in the SEC besides Gus has beaten Saban, and then 20 is like, it's not that much. And you go through it and like, oh, there's a lot of new coaches, a lot of guys who haven't faced him that much. And that's part of the Saban legacy, I think, here in the SEC the last 10 years or so, is he just runs guys off. And
he ruined careers. He's a career ruiner.
Yeah. He
will get you fired.
I mean, let's go through Urban Meyer. He chased Urban Meyer out of the league, like chased him into retirement. Like, the guy literally had to go to therapy because
he punked him out.
Like, he traumatized him, man.
Yeah, he's got the deed in his desk.
So he ran him out. He ran out Fulmer. He ran out Mark Richt.
Yeah.
He ran out Gene Chizik.
Les Miles.
Ran out Les Miles. Some good coaches.
He personally, I think,
three of those guys have national championships. Fulmer, Miles, and Les all have championship rings. And they pretty much all lost their jobs largely due to Nick Saban.
And Urban was just tired of having to play him every year. He's soft. And then he had Hugh Freeze assassinated down there.
Yeah, put out the hit. Put out the hit on the right reverend. Did you see the number yesterday? Pruitt needed 6 games to notch his first win against a ranked opponent.
Yeah.
Is that significant? Is that an important number? Or is that
what that tells me? Whoever wrote some of Butch's dumber tweets is still over there controlling social media. Because don't do that to us. Don't start trying to feed us crap. Okay?
No,
just let the guy do his job and win football games.
That is a good point. Like let's not crown the guy. Yeah, let's go recruit some players. How about that? Let's recruit some guys. Let's develop some of these dudes.
I guarantee there's no way Pruitt had anything to do with
it. We don't have to measure Pruitt against all the other guys, although that's probably like a recruiting tactic. If he did sign off on it, it's probably, yeah, just put that out there and maybe Quavaris Crouch will see it and come visit.
I don't know. I didn't like it.
Let's take a quick break. We'll get Mark Burnett in here down there in Tuscaloosa. Coming up next, will Tua play? Will it matter?
No.
Where is Alabama susceptible if Tennessee is to have any joy on Saturday? We'll break it down coming up next right here on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. Stay with us.
The Drive. Alpha listeners tune into The Drive.
Welcome back. The Drive continues here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Russell Smith back with you. Pleased to be joined now by Mark Burnett. He covers Alabama down there in Tuscaloosa, has for a number of years, and pleased to have him joining us on the show this afternoon. Hello, Mark. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for jumping on. We were talking before you came on about this year's Alabama team, and it seems like, you know, the offensive numbers through the years have been pretty consistent, whether it's McElwain, Kiffin, Brian Daboll, whoever calling the plays, but it seems like this year they've taken that to another level in terms of production. Is it oversimplifying it just to say that's Tua Tagovailoa, or is there something else, other things at work there that have caused the uptick we've seen so far this year?
Well, I think it's like a sort of a combination of a bunch of things. Obviously, Tua is a really big part of that. You know, an incredible quarterback, really accurate. You know, he throws a really great ball. But I also think, too, you have these really young receivers who are all incredible in their own right. Jerry Jeudy, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, the true freshman, and also Henry Ruggs. And then you have a tight end. Alabama's finally throwing into the tight end with Irv Smith and a guy like Mike Locksley who is sort of dialing up a really good game. So it's just a combination of everything sort of coming together, a lot of talented running backs, versatile guys who you can sort of play in a bunch of different spots. So and obviously the way the game is being played, the way the game is being called, it's sort of like a perfect storm for this offense.
What is Tua's status? I know he's been dinged up. Saban says he's going to play. How healthy is he coming into the Tennessee game?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things you never really know because if you look at the knee injury, you know, anytime anybody goes down with a knee injury, you're going to be concerned. And then if they retweak that same injury, that's even more cause of concern. But, Nick, you know, if you want to take him at his word, he said that Tua could have gone back in the game. I'm not sure I necessarily believe that just because, you know, it did not look good when he went down. But at the same time, you know, I'd be shocked if he didn't play. I think he'll be a full go this week with the brace on. And then they'll try to – hopefully, if you're an Alabama fan, you hope that they can get that one over quick so he can get out of there and rest up between some maybe in that second half or the fourth quarter heading into the bye week. But I expect Tua to play and look good. My only question is, you know, the confidence on that knee. Is he as mobile in the pocket? Is he as willing to take off and get outside the pocket if it breaks down? So those are the only questions I really have. But I expect him to definitely play and be fine.
Well, and it's not like even if they had to rest him, it's not like they don't have another a great backup quarterback in Jalen Hurts. And I saw him catch a pass against Missouri. They're lining him up, doing some different things, obviously trying to keep him happy, trying to get him to stick around. How do you think that situation plays out ultimately? Is he going to stick around there and be Tua's backup and work in at some other positions, or do you think that he will ultimately decide to transfer and be a starting quarterback somewhere?
Well, that's tough to call at this point. You know, I mean, he's going to get his degree in December, so he will have the luxury of being a grad transfer who can go anywhere. And he will, you know, after you get your degree, in my opinion, I feel like you complete your obligation to that particular university. So he'll be sure. Free to do whatever he wants to do. I think this year has been really good for him. I think being able to work with a dedicated quarterback coach and Dan Enos has been huge for his development. I think we've seen him, make some really nice throws. He's still got some ways to go in terms of making all of his progressions, all of his reads, but definitely a step in the right direction. I think most programs in the country will be lucky to have a kid like Jalen Hurts.
Talk with Mark Burnett covering Alabama down in Tuscaloosa this afternoon. And Mark, Jeremy Pruitt gets his first crack at Saban. Of course, there's been a lot made about the former Saban assistants yet to notch a win against Nick Saban. What are your thoughts on Jeremy Pruitt? I'm sure you've covered him extensively through the years and just his potential as a head coach here at Tennessee.
Yeah, I think Tennessee got a really good coach. I really like Jeremy Pruitt. One thing, when you talk to Alabama's players about Jeremy Pruitt, they all say he's a player's coach. They all say that, you know, he's willing to go to the end of the line for his players, and he's just a great guy to be around. Obviously coaches you hard, but he's very personable. And I think that's big time when it comes to college football athletes, because we all know that relationships are one of the most important things, especially when it comes to recruiting. So I think he's going to be a really good recruiter. I think you're going to see Tennessee in some recruiting battles that maybe they haven't been in the last 5 to 7 years. I think a guy like Jeremy Pruitt coming in there with his pedigree, having won a national championship at Florida State, having won a national championship at Alabama, I think he's a guy who gives that program a lot more credibility in the current tenure. So I expect Jeremy Pruitt to get this thing back on track and try to start competing for the SEC East championships. I thought that win over Auburn was huge last week, and I think that just shows you the program's come a long way, because maybe they don't win that game under a previous regime.
What's the mood like down there? And I'm sure Bama fans are having a healthy laugh at Auburn's expense, and that's got to be incredibly frustrating for Tiger Nation. You know, Gus Malzahn has that huge contract now. The buyout is astronomical, and that just seems to be his story down there. Is he has a great year followed by a not-so-great year. He always seems to bounce back, but it seems like there are a lot of Tiger fans very frustrated right now with Gus Malzahn.
Yeah, I mean, it's if you're an Auburn fan, it's easy to be frustrated because, you know, they're not performing well. It's not that they're losing games, obviously that's one thing, but they just don't look like a good football team. Their defense has been solid for the most part, but the offense hasn't looked good. Jerry Stidham hasn't been what people were expecting him to be. There's always some questions about whether or not Gus Malzahn is actually calling the plays, how much he's involved in the play calling. There seems to be a lot of disconnects down there on the plains. And, you know, I think it's a situation where if you're an Auburn fan, you're definitely not happy with this, because, you know, going into the season, they were expected to be, you know, a real competitor for Alabama. Now they've already lost a couple SEC games, and things just don't really look that great for them. So I'm not really sure what you could expect from Auburn this year.
Back to Jeremy Pruitt for a second. Now, you know, a couple of years ago, it's funny, after Derek Dooley flamed out and Will Muschamp flamed out at Florida, there was kind of the narrative that, oh, the Saban assistant, the Saban coaching tree, so to speak, not sprouting a lot of nice branches. Now, all of a sudden, you fast forward a couple of years later, you've got Kirby a play away from a national championship last year down there at Georgia. Jimbo Fisher's already got a ring. Jeremy Pruitt, a lot of excitement around him moving forward. How do you compare? We'll take the three defensive guys, Kirby, Muschamp, and Jeremy Pruitt. Are they all basically running the same system, same terminology and everything, or are there little differences that you can see amongst those guys?
Yeah, I mean, there are going to be little differences. You know, every coach is going to bring their own sort of spin to it, but you can tell the overall, I think the biggest takeaway here is the CEO sort of mindset. That's probably what Saban's best quality is being able to not only coach the defense, coach the offense, coach the secondary, whatever it may be, but just being able to run an entire program, keeping everything on schedule, making sure everybody within that organization is able to do their job. And I think that's what you see over at Georgia with Kirby Smart, and that's how they got that thing turned around so fast. And I see Jeremy Pruitt starting to sort of make some of those same changes. And I think that's what you need to do as a successful head coach. You can't worry about, hey, I'm a defensive guy, so I want to always be involved in the defense. No, you have to focus your time on every single aspect of the team and the organization in general. Because, you know, let's be honest, these are CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, not just college football coaches anymore. So I think Jeremy Pruner's on the right track for that, and I think the other guys are as well.
Looking at this game Saturday, Neyland Stadium between Tennessee and Alabama, obviously these are two programs in completely different places right now in terms of their trajectory. What do you see Tennessee needing to do in order to stay in this football game? Is there an area that Alabama could potentially be vulnerable that the Vols could exploit?
No, I don't really see that. I'm being completely honest, guys.
Sure.
I think it was always hard when you sort of looked at when we break down these games. What do you do? You look on paper, okay? This team has this much talent. That team has that much talent, and you're thinking on paper, it's hard to objectively say that another team is better than Alabama simply because of the way we recruit. But you add in the fact that Alabama now has this offense that's playing at an elite level, to where look at the Arkansas game, where in years past, if you score 31 points on Alabama, you're thinking, okay, maybe we win this one 31-28, something like that, 31-30. You got a chance to actually win this game. Nope. Nowadays, you score 31 on Alabama, you still get beat by 34 because they hang in 65 on you. So I think it's really tough, and I don't really see a weakness on this team. It's really incredible to think about how well they've come on the offensive side of the ball and how explosive they are, to where, you know, if they don't score in the first play in some of these drives, the fans are like, what's going on? You know, they're just so quick strike. You can never take a play off. So, sorry, Tennessee fans. I know you guys aren't going to like to hear this, but I can't pick an area where you're like, okay, you could exploit this, because they're even good on special teams for the most part.
All right, well, last thing, we'll let you run. I guess maybe the more relevant question, since Saban is on such an unprecedented run of dominance right now, how much longer do you see him doing this? He still looks as young and agile as ever there on the sideline. Do you see him slowing down, or is he just going to keep doing this until he's, you know, deposed via health or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, barring any health concerns, I expect him to do this another 5, 10 years, at least that contract runs out. It's always funny because when you talk about Saban, people are always like, how much longer can he do this? But you look at Bill Snyder up at Kansas State, I'm pretty sure he's like, a good bit older than Saban, but nobody ever actually, wonders when he's going to retire. I guess that just shows you the level of the programs there. But I fully expect him to continue to coach at a high level. He's still recruiting. He still has that same sort of fire and passion. And it's little things that sort of rejuvenate a coach, and I think Saban's been rejuvenated after that last title they won. Also, too, after that one they lost to Clemson. I think that was another big turning point in his career to make him want to lock in even more than he already is, if that's even possible.
All right, Mark, good stuff this afternoon. Where can folks follow your work online?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter @Mark_Burnett. That's @MARQ_BURNETT.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate the time.
All right, thanks.
Mark Burnett making his presence felt on the drive this afternoon. Bear, what did you learn?
Several things. They got a guy, their receivers are really good. Jimmy Judy, Devontae Smith, Robin of Loxley, and Jimmy Sofa.
Jerry Judy.
He really thinks Pruitt's going to get us back on track, and he doesn't see a whole lot of vulnerability with Alabama's football team, Russ.
I'm impressed. I mean, you didn't get any of those names correct, but you were paying attention. And are you taking notes over there? Are you actually writing stuff down?
Yeah, because I'm right in the middle of this really interesting article, and I want to make sure I didn't forget the names. That's what happens. I can do two things at once, but then I forget the names. And then you put all the pressure on me, and then it's a train wreck from there, Russ.
Did you call Mike Loxley, Auburn's or Alabama's offensive coordinator, Robin of Loxley?
Robin Loxley.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Hey, I'm satisfied. It's progress. He actually had a response this time rather than 10 seconds of dead air. So we're making strides here on the Drive as Bear, paying attention to an interview. Stay with us. We'll open up the phone lines. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show this afternoon. 546-8200. The Drive continues on Fox Sports Knoxville.
The Drive.
Tennessee back out on the practice field this afternoon. Number one, Alabama, comes to town on Saturday for a 3:30 nationally televised CBS kickoff. The excited Bear, only a 28.5-point dog.
I want to get this week over with. Just go ahead and take our medicine. Much like when you have to have like unexpected emergency surgery, you know.
Just get it done.
Just get it done, get it over with.
Yeah, just start the recovery as quickly as you can.
Know that you're going to get to lay around for a couple of days and recuperate.
Yep. Well, more good news for Jarrett Guarantano as the accolades continue to pour in. He was named the Pro Football Focus Offensive Quarterback of the Week, given an elite grade of 93.3 after his performance in the win at Auburn. He's also named, of course, the SEC's Offensive Player of the Week. We told you about the video Kirk Herbstreit did on him. That was pretty cool. He's the Maxwell Award Player of the Week as well. So pretty cool stuff. He's the first of all to win the Maxwell Award Player of the Week honor since Josh Dobbs did it September 29, 2016, after he led the Vols to a comeback win over Florida in Neyland Stadium. Guarantano is also part of the Davey O'Brien Awards Great Eight, whatever that is, and was on the Manning Award Star of the Week list. Jarrett Guarantano getting some loves. Also, three of his teammates made the Pro Football Focus College SEC Team of the Week. Jennings graded out at 80.7. It's very good. And Daniel Batuli with a 76.8. Freshman cornerback Bryce Thompson garnered an 83.1. So, Jesse Simonton over there at VolQuest does a really good job compiling those Pro Football Focus numbers. We'll pull that up and go through some of the highlights for you a little bit later. Also, basketball news today. Tennessee announcing that it's January 26th, Monday night home game with West Virginia. It's not a Monday night game, is it? Oh, no, they announced yesterday. They announced on Monday. January 26th, home game with West Virginia in the Big 12 SEC Challenge is officially sold out. It'll be a packed house at the Tommy Bowl when Huggy Bear brings his Mountaineers into town this year. That'll be a lot of fun. Last week, it was announced that the home game against Kentucky is already sold out. There are also less than 500 tickets left for the home game against Florida. Tennessee reported last week that its season ticket sales over 12,000, nearly 2,000 more than sold last season. So, Tennessee catching basketball fever here lately. Everybody buying up those tickets for Tennessee basketball this year. That is your Rocky Top Report, brought to you by the Craigner Group. Folks, if you're looking to move, if you need a new home, you need a realtor, you need my guy, Bo Craigner. Give him a call today. He'll come over to your house, meet with you, tell you exactly what you got to do to get it sold. That's the toughest part. It's like, where do you start? Well, you start with a phone call to Bo Craigner, 742-1035. The consultation is free. You don't owe him anything. He'll say, hey, look, this is what I think you need to do to get your house sold. I know the market. Been in business doing this for a long, long time. Here's what you need to do. We'll get your house listed. We'll get it sold, and then we'll move on and move you on to a new place. Call Bo today, 742-1035, or just visit him online at BoKnowsHouses.com. And if you're thinking about refinancing your existing loan, you call my guy, Chris Burleson, the mortgage pro at 865-388-7634. He did the mortgage on the new Stately Smith Manor we just moved into a couple of months ago. He'll do the mortgage on your new home, or as I said, help you refinance your existing loan, get you a better interest rate, save you cash. BurlesonMortgageTeam.com is his website. That's B-U-R-L-E-S-O-N, MortgageTeam.com. And again, that phone number, 865-388-7634. Bear, what did you learn on the Rocky Top Report today?
Guarantano won the Maxwell Quarterback Award this week.
Brandon, are you surprised at the level of focus that Bear has displayed so far through the first half hour of hour number one of the drive?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I'm not totally surprised because last week I noticed he does take notes during the show, what we talk about, just to kind of general.
He's also a doodler. Have you noticed that?
Yes. Yeah.
Loves to doodle.
He does. But yeah, he's. I'm proud of Bear.
Making strides. Making strides.
I'm kind of upset that the West Virginia game sold out already. I was going to buy tickets for that game. Yeah. I looked last week.
Well, let's go to StubHub. I think you can still get, let's see.
I'm sure you can get them on StubHub.
Yeah, with what, $30 worth of handling fees? Yeah, just go down there the night of the game, buy one of the old-fashioned
ones. Well, no, but what I was going to say,
some dude on
street. I looked just last week.
Who needs
and
four?
It's the 200-level seat, so those it's like maybe four or five rows. Yeah. It's in the upper deck, but not way up there. Good seats. $35
Let's
from
see what
UT.
We got here. Oh, well, you got an upper corner and 317A.
No,
oh boy,
you don't want to be
up there. $25 each.
Nah. You don't want
those.
But
then you got to pay $15 for the for your
all right,
convenience
let's see.
Fees.
Best seats.
You're going to end up looking at Twitter all during that game to see what's going on.
Lower center, section 121. Mm. This is a beautiful seat. The view is right in the center court. How much do you think those tickets are?
$300 a piece.
I'll say 125.
$306.50.
Cool.
If this were the Price is Right, Bear would be on it right now. He's throwing heat. $300 for a great seat at the Tennessee West Virginia game.
Yeah.
We got basketball fever here in Big Orange Country. The magic is back. That's pretty awesome, man. Now, if you spend $300 to go to that basketball game, you're stark raving mad. But, hey, the fact that that's what the market is right now in StubHub, that's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive. We'll see what is best value. Lower corner, $117.50 bucks each. That's
those
a great,
aren't, those
that's
aren't
a great
bad.
Seat.
They aren't too bad.
Lower corner, I love the lower corner. It's a yep. great seat, man.
Depends on how high up you are. You got to be up far enough that you can see them down at the other end of the floor.
That's a single. These are all singles.
That's all I need.
You're single.
That's all I need.
No. Here we've got, okay, two lower corner seats, 109, 92 bucks each. That's pretty good. That's justifiable.
Does that include all the fees and handling surcharges and tax?
No. So it'd be a little over $200 total.
They don't tell you that until after.
When you get to the checkout out of your cart.
And you're like, oh, I've come this far.
You've already sold yourself. Yeah. Getting tickets and then boom.
So what do these companies do? They sit and just buy up all the tickets as soon as they go on sale?
Well, no. People have the tickets and then they put them on there to sell, to resell. That's where StubHub makes their money is on the handling charges.
They're basically scalpers, online scalpers.
I mean, it's
price that prices stuff out of the range of.
This is capitalism, man. This is the system we've all agreed upon.
No, I think you need to go get in line if you want to go to a show and pay your money, get your ticket, and go. If you want to scalp it on the street. This whole computer thing you've been telling me about, I just don't like it, Russ. Not a bit. I miss the days of going and hitting up the scalpers before a concert.
But see, Bear, here's where your theory could just be completely just misproven. What if Tennessee's having a great season like we all expect?
Yeah, how much do you think those tickets are going to go for on the street about an hour before
tip-off? And West Virginia's having a great season? Maybe a top 10 matchup? Top 15? Those tickets are going to be...
It's amazing, man. Like, what I can just buy the ticket on my phone, and then an hour before tip off, drive down there, park, go to the game without having to deal with some shady character on a street corner or the trench coat, and you don't know, like if the ticket's even real. It's probably a counterfeit. No, thank you.
You're just going to trust your computer that somebody you've never met is going to send you that ticket? How does that work?
StubHub sends it.
They mail them to you?
Or through email.
Can scan your phone now?
Yeah, they either send you the tickets
what
through
an
the
age
mail.
We live in.
Or email them to you. Or, yeah, you can just scan them.
What an age we live in. Unbelievable.
I don't care for it.
865-546-8200. 546-8200 if you want to jump on the drive this afternoon. We'll take a quick break, come back with your Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day. Stay with us. The Drive continues after this.
The Drive. Oh, that doesn't suck. The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, it's Fox Sports Knoxville. Russell Bear and Brandon Cruz along with you here on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I'm just kidding. It's actually kind of a crappy day outside. But, hey.
It's finally cooled off, man. Don't complain.
We're having fun. We're having fun here on the show, enjoying it. Get some phone calls going on the McKinney Team Hotline, 865-546-8200. And John Tweet up next on The Drive. Good afternoon, Tweet.
Hello.
Yes.
Is Bear a socialist? You hate capitalism?
Are you a commie, Bear?
No.
How would you describe your economic
philosophy?
Are you
an incel, John Tweet?
Whoa.
Incel? Is that a voluntary celibate?
I'm not sure. I've just heard the term.
It's an involuntary celibate.
I'll DM some action shots for you, Bear.
Okay. No, I'm not a socialist.
Whoa.
Calling me a socialist.
This call is taking a strange turn right off the bat.
That's the only way I would buy tickets. Russ, you said you signed for, what, 92 apiece?
Yep.
That's probably reasonable for that game down low.
I think that's a great
deal. I'm trying to remember what I paid for those UNC tickets. I think they were north of 100 apiece.
Yeah, I mean, if I were in North Carolina, probably a bigger name like that was.
For this is the biggest home game this season, correct?
I would
besides Kentucky.
Yeah, I would probably still say Kentucky.
Out of conference, it's home game of the season. It's not even close because you got Georgia Tech, Wake Forest.
That's about
I'm trying
it.
To think of who else is coming in, but nobody that you know is going to draw that kind of West Virginia's. Preseason, either top 10 or top 15. I'm not sure which.
Yeah, I mean, he's got that program rolling. They lost that one point guard, I believe, that they've had for like 15 years.
Yeah, the 45-year-old.
Does he still weigh like 900 pounds?
He looked like fat Nick Van Exel, you know, or somebody like that. He had that. I know, dude, look 40. I swear to God. There's no way was he a fifth-year player or something? I mean,
that on every team, though. They're always, you know, seemed like Rex Chapman, that was who it was at Kentucky. Seemed like he was there for like 20 years.
Yeah, Trey Golden, I think, finished his career at about 42 years old here in Knoxville a couple of years ago.
Seemed like Bob Hubbs was here forever.
That West Virginia guy kind of looked like Trey Golden, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty similar. I don't mind StubHub. The fees are what gets you. I guess you could risk buying them the day of the game. I'm fairly certain you're probably going to pay a higher amount. I don't know. It's just a chance. I mean, for me, I'm driving down, and I'd rather have the ticket in hand than I would, you know, sit there and try to chance buying it. I mean, I might save a little, but peace of mind's probably worth anything else. Do we have a question, du jour, Russ?
Yeah, we're getting to that. What was our question of the day brought to you by our friends at Rickard Ridge Barbecue? Okay. And you'll be a good test gauge for this one, John Tweet. What are your expectations for the Alabama game?
Play a quarter and see what happens and then don't get anybody hurt. I don't care. They're going to lose by Alabama could hang 100 on this if they wanted to. There's no way you're stopping them. Not with this team.
No way?
They could hang 100.
We can't just play soft in the secondary, bend but don't break, try and bleed the clock and get out of there with, you know, a 38-10 beatdown.
30.
Would you take that right now?
I'm going to tell you now, I don't care what the score is. I get out of it without anybody getting hurt. They could score as much as they wanted to on you, and they could keep you from scoring all day. I mean, Didn't they rush last year? They rushed us with like three and got pressure.
I don't want to get shut out.
What does it matter? Loss is a loss.
I don't want to. No. A loss is not just a loss. There's a
different. Of course it is.
There's different degrees of losing. Getting shut out at home sucks.
What I mean, you expect us? There's. You could play this game, what, 10,000 times, and unless Tua Tagovailoa and all their quarterbacks broke all their knees, we still would. They could have a wide receiver play quarterback and still beat us. They wouldn't even have to have a quarterback. They could just line up and run the ball straight down every time.
They put 62 on Ole Miss, 45 on A&M, 56 on Louisiana Lafayette, 65 on Arkansas, and Missouri actually held them to 39. 39-10.
Maybe that's because Missouri scored 10?
Yep.
No.
They had a nice touchdown throw. I was watching that, too. Locke dropped a dime in the corner of the end zone.
That guy from West Virginia, isn't he? How long has he been there?
He's only a junior, right?
I seem to remember him being there back like when they won the SEC East, which was the first couple of years. That wasn't Drew Locke?
That was the other kid, James Franklin.
That
got kicked. He ended up leaving the team. He got in trouble.
Oh, yeah. Well, they had James Franklin took him to the championship. And then, Matt Mock. Yeah.
Matty Mock.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, he liked the old Peruvian marching pattern,
yeah,
didn't he?
That's what I was getting ready to say.
Hey, speaking of Peru, how do you like our chances against Peru in a friendly tonight, John Tweet?
Oh, where's that game?
I don't know.
They probably scheduled it somewhere where Peru has like a huge.
I like that. I like that. Last week we're playing Colombia down in Tampa Bay, and it's like 90% just
stupid
Colombia fans down there. That was
They take the World Cup. What I really don't get is they take World Cup qualifiers and play them against like somewhere in Texas against a team down there. What are you doing? I mean, stick them up in Columbus where God's people live.
Speaking of what are you doing, why are we talking about soccer? It's football season.
Because there's a big
I will entertain this during the summertime.
It's a big game tonight, Bear.
That's a load of crap.
You don't support your country?
Huge.
You are a socialist. What's wrong with you? Whose side are you on?
Price fixing.
Football side, Russ.
You're pulling for Peru. Side. You're for Peru, aren't you?
If it means that I'd never have to listen to you idiots talk about that stupid game again.
Oh, my God.
Let's go Peru.
I'll tell you the post-game show right now. We're going to get beat about 54 to 10.
I mean, it's just
the
absolute worst. Oh, my God. And then you guys sit here and act like it's some kind of cool thing. It's horrible. It's a garbage sport. It's a garbage sport.
Oh, my God.
People try to act all cool because they like soccer. Oh, I like soccer. Oh, I'm cool. No, you're not. You're an idiot.
I'm Bear, and I'm not open to new things. I just want my football the way it is, and keep this computer stuff off my lawn. I want to be able to go down and buy a ticket for $500 from a scalper, just like in the old days. And then maybe he'll slit my throat with a knife.
You might get a fake ticket nowadays. Be good, boys.
Thank you, John. Stay with us. Hour number two coming up.